गुरु ब्रह्मा गुरु विष्णु गुरु देवो महेश्वरा गुरु साक्षात् परब्रह्मा तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। Good morning, everyone. A few words from Gurudeva from yesterday's Living with Shiva lesson. It's called Two-Syllable Panchakshara. When one looks at the earth and the sun, one thinks more of the earth than of the sun, which is so far away. Traveling through space toward the sun, the earth fades into a distant speck, and one contemplates the sun as it looms larger and larger, as he draws nearer and nearer. There is no intellect here, you see, for the intellect is connected to the earth in its exterior ramifications of worldliness. The devotee's path is to merge into the sun. The devotee's path is to merge in the totality of his awareness, willpower, and life force into the self God, Shiva. Shiva is the ancient name of the self God. Mystically, Shi, meaning the first syllable, is the absolute state. Va is the all-pervading self flowing through the mind. It's an interesting version of the Panchakshara, two-syllable version. It's also a monistic version, meaning you're not involved with the personal aspect of Shiva or Ishvara, focusing on Shiva as Parashiva and as Parashakti, or as the absolute and the all-pervading self. It is only when the devotee, through yoga disciplines, under the direction of his guru, traverses the thought strata of his mind that he begins to experience what he has been learning philosophically. Then the sun, his Shiva, the self-God, blooms paramount before his vision. Earthiness, worldliness, humanness, instinctiveness fade into a speck within his memory patterns. And like the astronaut hurtling through space toward the sun, awestruck as to the impending annihilation of the remnants of his identity, the devotee, piercing his inner depths, awes at the magnificence of Shiva. This then brings willpower into its crowned usage. Transmuted force of the divine will of the devotee compellingly guides the last remnants of intellect and passions, and in total surrender, when confronted to respond, he voices, "I know not. Shiva's will be done." The will of Shiva. This is an interesting definition of the will of Shiva. The will of Shiva, the totality of all force that is active, quiescent force, and non-force as found in Shi and Va, begins to take over the Dharma and the Karma and floods through the being of the devotee on the threshold of reality. Anyone understand that? Have to stop on that one, huh? Read it again here. The will of Shiva, the totality of all force that is active, quiescent force and non-force as found in Shi and Va, begins to take over the Dharma and the Karma and floods through the being of the devotee on the threshold of reality. What that is saying is, when we go deep enough in meditation, the inner forces are experienced, and those actually change our karma and dharma. That's what Gurudeva is saying. our karma and dharma is changed somewhat by deep meditation. Or our life goes a slightly different direction. More spiritual. And so, while in a dual state of assuming some personal identity, he states Shiva's will be done as his new and most refined sadhana of giving up the last of personal worldliness to the perfect timing of the infinite conglomerate of force and non-force within him. This he says as a mantra unto himself when he sees and hears in the external world. But when eyes and ears are closed, through the transmuted power of his will, he merges into the samadhi of Va and Shi and Va, experiencing reality as himself and himself as reality. This is an interesting expression of monistic theism, what Gurudev is saying here. The normal states of mind someone who meditates goes through shifts from monism to theism. That's what he's saying. If you're practicing meditation, you're actually, sometimes you're a monist and other times you're a theist. So this is the theist part here. And while in a dual state of assuming some personal identity, he states Shiva's will be done as his new and most refined sadhana of giving up the last of personal worldliness to the perfect timing of the infinite conglomerate of force and non-force within him. This he says as a mantra unto himself when he sees and hears in the external world. So when we're in our outer consciousness, we're naturally theists. We're identified with our personality, and God is separate from us. And so in that state of mind, we can say Shiva's will be done because Shiva is separate from us. But when the eyes and ears are closed through the transmuted power of his will, he merges into the samadhi of Va and Shi and Va, experiencing reality as himself and himself as reality. So then in that state, you can't say Shiva's will be done because you're experiencing Shiva. So there's no duality in a deep state of meditation. We were focusing on this in our retreats. Started in Malaysia in June, early June. Then we refined the material a little bit further in late June for Santa Cruz, California, and then we presented it in Singapore. By the time we got to Singapore, we'd made it much more difficult. But better, you know, the third time around, it was nicely done. The first time around, it was simple things like, what is monism, what is theism? But by the time we got to Singapore, it said, you know, what are the attitudes you need to express to be successful in theistic worship. It's getting more difficult. So that the attitude you need to express in theistic worship is this idea of surrender. Surrender is the key to doing well in theistic worship. And as Gurudeva words it here, Shiva's will be done. That sense of surrendering. In a theistic sense, you're surrendering to somebody else. In the monistic sense, it's a little different. I was also asked a question when we were in Santa Cruz related to that. It took me a while to figure out what the question was, but the question was, how do you achieve the ultimate surrender, which is called prapati, you know, total surrender? And the answer I gave was by practicing non-total surrender. You know, do the best you can. Keep working at it. keep working at it, and what you're not surrendering gets smaller and smaller, so to speak. Eventually, all of you is getting surrendered. But it just takes practice. You can't do something special to achieve it. It's not separate from ordinary surrender. It's just the result of really surrendering, all of you, that's not Shiva's will, leads to prapatti. I was meditating on this one this morning. Gurudeva says, experiencing reality as himself and himself as reality. Why does he say it twice? You know, what's the difference between experiencing reality as himself and experiencing himself as reality? Why would he say it twice? Well, I'm not sure there's one interpretation because it is kind of abstract, but the one I was working on was reality as himself is how you start. I am striving to realize the self. The I is here and the self is there. I am trying to realize Parashiva. And experiencing that reality as oneself is the goal. But himself as reality, the himself is first. So in that first sense, you know, the self is kind of separate from you. Somehow you manage to experience it. But it's still, you're looking at it as separate from you. Whereas himself as reality, then it's part of you. In other words, you found the part of you which is Parashiva. It's a more integrated idea. It's more just the core of you and not something you manage to experience one day. It's up here or something. You know, it's the core of you. So it's more an integrated concept, himself as reality. So we're seeing ourself as Parashiva, or that part of us, the deepest part of us, is Parashiva. That's how I was thinking of it. To have these two perspectives working is very helpful, because then you can get the most out of your theism, your temple worship, Shiva's will be done, surrender, and the most out of your meditation, where you're trying to claim that part of you which is Shi and Va, the absolute reality and the all-pervading consciousness. It's not different from you. So, thank you very much. Have a wonderful week.